God. Will you pray with me, church, as we open the Word of God today? Father God, we ask you as our Father to open the Scriptures to us as we look at the now. That we find our hope in the Scriptures in you, that we come to trust you and know you through the Word of God. That you open the eyes of our heart to the truth of the inheritance that we have in you, the incredible blessings that we have in our God. And so now as we kick this series off, as we open your word, as we dig into it as a congregation, let it transform us. Don't let it come back without anything but a transformative experience for everybody who digs into the word of God. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you that we study it together in this community. And we ask you to be here with us and open our eyes to what it is you're saying to us in the book of Ephesians. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good to be with you, everybody. It's a beautiful day out. We're kicking off a brand new series, and I've been fired up to get into this for a long time. We're just so you don't forget, we made sure to make it clear to you on stage as to what we're studying. And just in case that were to slip your mind here, I just want to thank Nick and the team for decorating this up. It's great to have a little different stage design going here, so I like to see that. Yeah, this keeps you right in front of us. Now, the study of Ephesians is part of the year-long preaching focus we have at Christ the Rock. And if you remember at the beginning of the year, we talked about, we just felt through prayer and just where we're at as a congregation that God wants us, everybody, to grow in our love and understanding of the Word of God. Not just understanding, but to love it, to go to it like it's a friend, to engage with the Word of God in a way that's transformative and speaks to us. And we want everybody in our congregation to be growing in their love of God's Word. And we feel that because it is God's word, and we live in a culture, and you know this, where we're bombarded with different narratives and stories and ideas and advertisements that are telling us what to think, what to believe, who we are. And if we're not grounded in the word of God, we're in danger of being led astray into other kinds of thinking, things that are less true, that don't have our best interest in mind. And so we want us as a church, if we're followers of Jesus, to dig into the word of God. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on all year, as we dig into the Bible. And so we want everybody at Christ the Rock to read their Bibles every day. And so as part of these series, we've given you things to do. The last thing we did was the E100. And we looked at the Bible from the 10,000-foot perspective. And it was great. We gave 2,000 handouts to people. And so congratulations to any of you who did any part of that. Way to go, Christ the Rock. We're doing it. We're digging into the Word of God. And now we're going to switch gears. So that was the 10,000-foot view. We're gonna put the Bible now under the magnifying glass. And the reason we're going to do that is it's good to look at the Bible from a lot of different angles, way up here, but often you got to get way deep down into the Bible because you can't understand the Bible if you don't just dig into it. It can't transform your life. You can't dig all the meaning out of it unless you kind of spend some time with it, dig into it, give it your energy, focus on it, study it. Much like I can't sit down and have lunch with you, I can't sit and have lunch with you one time and say, I know you. You can't just know one person in one meeting. I could have lunch with you 100 times. I'd never say I fully know you. I mean, I don't even really know myself. And I've been living in this body my whole life. I mean, we're constantly discovering who we are. And if you're married, hopefully you're still discovering who your spouse is. Because God says there's a depth to every human being, that there's a deep well in every one of us. It also says those scriptures deeper. And that we're to dig into Scripture and mine for the truth in that. And so that's what we're going to do with this series. So for the next 10 weeks, we're going to spend 10 weeks doing some expository preaching, going through each of these parts of the book, digging into the Word of God. We're going to look at this, just six chapters. This is just six little chapters, 2,422 words to be exact. It's actually shorter than my sermon. That doesn't mean bail and just read that. There's still value in preaching the Word of God. But 2,422 words, we're just going to dig into that, and we're going to be doing that in the book of Ephesians. And the reason we chose Ephesians is that this book is powerful. And we felt led there in prayer, but Ephesians is one of the most concise, powerful explanations of the Christian faith ever written. This book has the power to transform. Let me just give you a quote from a New Testament scholar, this guy named William Hendrickson. He says of Ephesians, it's been called the divinest composition of man. Just think about all religious texts ever written. Even in the Bible, he says this text is the most divine thing ever written. And then he goes on, and I just love what he says. It's the distilled essence of the Christian religion. The most authoritative, most consummate compendium of the Christian faith, full to the brim with thoughts and doctrines sublime and momentous. Sounds like a scholar. But what he's saying is this book has power. This book is worthy of your time. This book is worthy of digging into. And so we're going to ask everybody in the church, we want you to dig into this scripture. Obviously, I'm a little excited about it. We've got for you a handout in the bulletin. So we're going to ask you to do something outside of just coming to services. It's got two sides. I left mine on my seat. One side, we're going to have to actually read the scripture to you. And we're going to have that, try to provide that for you every week. We got room for notes, not a lot. And then on the other side, we've got some things we're going to ask you to do. And I'll explain that at the end of my message because I don't want to bore you with any more introduction. I'm ready to get into the text. And so we're going to dig into the scripture. And so I want to invite you now to open your Bibles or to look at the back of this and look at Ephesians chapter 1 today. And we're going to try to read this in scripture or read this in church every week, scripture. And so I'm going to dig into this and we're going to actually spend 2 weeks on just Ephesians 1:1-14, because it's so rich. In fact, 2 weeks is probably too short. Some churches literally spend 10 weeks on just this one part. We're just going to do two. And the way Paul does this, is this: he does one quick introduction, and then 3-14 is one long sentence in Greek. It's just one long run-on sentence with blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And so as I read it, I'm going to read this scripture. Just listen, even underline or look for all the blessings that he mentions in the beginning of this chapter as he gets us in to the book of Ephesians. So let's read the word of God. This is what he writes at the beginning of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from our God and Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And there's more. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purposes of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Catch all that? Got it? Clear? Don't worry if it's not. That's a perfect example of a scripture. You cannot hear that one time and get it. There's just simply no way. There's so much there. It's so deep. So we're going to spend 2 weeks unpacking that, and I'm going to ask you to engage with that outside of here. But again, I'll explain that later. And so today, I'm only going to unpack verses 1:1-3, because Paul gives, we're going to talk about a little of the introduction he gives us and what he's telling us there. And then I'm just going to talk about verse 3. Which is a statement, it's a thesis statement, it's a piece of truth that we have to understand if we're going to get through this book, okay? And so let's dig into this. This is what Paul, how he opens his letter. And if you've read Paul, sometimes he's got really long introductions, and then he's got this short one. And he only gives us a little information, and we got to dig into that to understand this, what he's, the context of this book. And so this is what he writes. He says, Paul, that's his name, so he tells you that, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's his introduction. And Paul gives you two important pieces of information about himself. He says, I'm an apostle, and by the will of God, I am an apostle. And this is what he meant by apostle. It's not what we think of all the time. So he's trying to convey three things to us. He's trying to teach us a little bit with this. He says, for one, he meant that he belonged to Christ. His life was not his own. So Paul's saying, I'm a servant of Christ. I do the will of God. I belong to Christ. And then he meant that I was sent out by Christ. And so the word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos. And an apostolos was somebody who was sent out on behalf of somebody else, much like an ambassador. Or Paul was part of something called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the supreme court of the Jewish people. And so when they made a law, they would send out an apostolos to declare that law and to make sure that it was fulfilled. Now, the apostolos didn't have any authority. They had the authority behind him, behind that person of the Sanhedrin. And so they'd execute that and make sure that that went out. And so Paul's also saying that my authority isn't with me, it's delegated authority. So I'm going speaking on behalf of a different authority, in this case, Christ. And so he's telling us these three things. I'm an apostle, and it's by the will of God. And this is what it's not like pride thing with the will of God. It's actually like by the will of God, like shocked, because of all people, Paul shouldn't be speaking on behalf of Jesus. He used to be part of or represent the Sanhedrin. And he'd go out and he'd kill Christians in the name of that authority. And so now you know the story with Paul. Jesus appeared to him literally and said, "Why are you persecuting my people?" And then called him to be an apostle for Jesus. And so now he's saying, I used to be an apostolos for the Sanhedrin. Now I'm an apostle for Jesus. And he's shocked by it. And we should be too. What he's saying to us is, okay, look, when you do anything, if God calls you to do anything, we should all be shocked that he'd use people like us, right? Just like Paul. Why would God use people like us to do his will? But he does. And he calls all of us to do that. And we should also understand that if we do something in the name of Jesus, that it's with God's authority that we do it. Like, I don't get up here on Sunday under Joel's authority. I'm using the power of Scripture, and I feel the authority of God to speak because I'm speaking his word. Much like any of us who do anything for God, it's in the authority of God. It's delegated authority to his church, and that's our job. And that's what Paul's saying to this church. That's how I speak to them. And so he establishes his authority. And then he goes on to say, it's to these specific people. So once he's got that established, he goes, all right, it's Ephesians. It's to a very specific group of people. And we know a lot about Ephesus. Let me tell you a little bit about Ephesus before we get into this book so you understand the context. We know that a lot happens in the New Testament in Ephesus. So Paul spent 2 years there. A lot of Acts takes place in Ephesus. Acts 18 and 19, a lot of that's in Ephesus. One of the seven churches in Revelation is the church at Ephesus. Timothy, his disciple, those two books that were written to him, he was the first bishop of the church at Ephesus. And Paul obviously wrote this entire letter to Ephesus. So there's a lot we know about the city. Now, Ephesus was a major metropolitan city in the ancient world. It was located kind of in between the Holy Land and Rome. It was a major crossroads. It was on the Aegean Sea. I got a map so you can see where that thing is on the map. So it was right on the coast. And it was a major trade city, a major port, so it was very wealthy, it was very prosperous, and it was a huge city. There were 250,000 people that lived there, so about the size of the Fox Cities, which was massive in the ancient world. So, and it was also, and you got to understand this to understand Ephesus, it was the global center for the worship of Artemis. Artemis was key to their culture, and they built a great temple to Artemis in the center of the city. And so great was this temple, it still has renown today. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the world. It was on par with the pyramids. I got a picture of this. They spent a lot of money to help us, to help people engage with Artemis. But they had another plan for it too. You see, Artemis was a fertility god. And worshiping her was said to come with the promise of long life, sexual fulfillment, and protection during pregnancy and during childbirth, and obviously fertility. And it was a very seductive, sexual type of worship there, kind of a sex cult. I don't know if that's why it was so popular, but a lot of people came to this temple. And the cult brought a lot of wealth with it. So at this time, so much wealth flowed into this temple that it became the largest bank in the entire world. You wouldn't think a temple would be associated with money like that, but this became so wealthy. That's why they could build that giant temple. It's kind of like the Wall Street of the day. And if you don't think there's a connection between worship and money, let me just look at our modern day Wall Street. I got a picture of the stock exchange. You ever look at the stock exchange and see the facade of that building? Does that not look like a temple? So the influence of things like a temple for worship and money and how it flowed, that goes ancient into its time, and it's still the threads of that stuff are with us today. That shocked me when I saw it. But what an odd facade to have to a building about money, to a place of worship. And so the people of Ephesus thought they were kind of a big deal. kind of like New Yorkers think they are. I hope there's no New Yorkers in here. I'm picking on you, right? They think they're the center of the universe and they got it all figured out, right? Feel safe in the Midwest making a New Yorker joke, but they thought they were kind of a big deal. They had a very distinct culture. They were very, you know, so, but it's very much, their culture was much like modern America. It was an influential culture in the day, an influential city. And so Paul spent a lot of time planting a church because he knew it would be a very influential church in that place. And they didn't like it. I mean, you can imagine, they're very much identified with Artemis. So when somebody comes in and starts preaching, like, that's not even a real God, it's Jesus, and people start believing it, they freak out, and they did. And there's this story, it even records one with a guy's specific name, Acts 19. They name this guy Demetrius. The silversmith gets so fired up because people stop buying his silver idols that he starts a riot in the city. And the whole city riots and creates all this religious fervor for Artemis. And this is an artist's renditioning of it. And the whole city gets in an uproar and starts to persecute the Christians out of their religious fervor, which I've mentioned before is a stupid thing to do because if you persecute Christians, it only fires up the church, and that's what it did. And so the church becomes really influential and grows in the city of Ephesus. And Paul's job, he did a good job with it. And now when he writes this particular letter, when time comes for him to write this letter, it's 10 years later. That church has been established. We're guessing that religious fervor has died down a little bit. They're starting to assimilate kind of back into the culture. And we infer that from the text because of what he talks about. And so he's writing back to the church, and what he's trying to say to them, he's sensing that it's hard to tell a Christian from a regular Ephesian, that the church is getting a little lukewarm, and he's got to remind them of the blessings they have in Christ and what it means to live that out. And so that's how he structures the entire book. He says, I want to remind you of what you have in Jesus. So he spends the whole first three chapters talking about the blessings and who you are in Jesus. And the whole last four, he talks about what it looks like to live that out in our culture. And so what we're going to do today, we're not going to look at all that. We're just going to look at one single line that sets the stage for everything that follows. As he unpacks this, there's only really those two parts to the book, and he sets it up with this one line, okay? And this is what that line is. Ephesians 1:3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not will, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Let me translate that for you. And just talk what he's really trying to say, okay? He's saying this. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you're loaded. You're filthy rich. You have a spiritual bank account now, not in the future, that is full. This isn't some prosperity gospel. This isn't some name it and claim it. This is the word of God saying you are rich, filthy, filthy rich with some of the greatest blessings that you could ever hope for. And so to the Ephesians in that culture, he's saying, I don't care what that rich, wealthy culture offers you. I don't care what Artemis is telling you. What you have in Christ is better, way better, so much more valuable. And to us, he's saying, I don't care how powerful you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how good looking you think you are, how many Instagram followers you have. I don't care. He's saying, what you have in Christ, church, what we have as an inheritance, as a gift in a bank account from God is phenomenally valuable and is meant to hit us as incredible news. When we hear this, it's meant to hit us like, whoa, really? You should be fired up about this. Let me give you an example of the level to which this news should hit us, or really is, the truth of it. Now imagine you get a letter in the mail from a law firm, this Huppy and Abraham, you know them. And in it is an inheritance. It says you have an inheritance, and this is given to you, and you actually have the legal document there, and you open it up, and it's from a distant relative who has just died. And apparently you were the only one that was nice enough to them at the family reunion, and they have nobody else they want to give their money to, so it's you. So you're getting this, and you're going, all right, and you open it up, and you look at it, and you're like, it's $10 million. We're talking a couple homes on water, a couple Italian sports cars. You're like, woo, you're kidding me, right? Whoa, I'm loaded. Like, would news like that change the way your day's going? Like, would that affect your life in any way? Would you little tingle in the heart there? Would you get fired up about something like that? Yeah, right? Financial worries, gone. You got any work troubles? Gone, because you don't have to work if you don't want to. You can, that's your choice now. You don't have to. You're good. You are loaded, so you'd probably be calling your friends and cheering, doing the happy dance. You know, you'd be fired up. That news would get you excited, I promise, okay? Now, you'd also go, all right, I got to get into that letter. I'm going to look at it, because you're probably going to think there's other relatives that are going to want to lock that money down. So I'm going to contact that lawyer and see what I got to do to get that money. I got to figure it out. Now, just imagine for a minute that you open the letter and you look at it, and it just says, Hupie and Abraham, you've got an inheritance and a picture of Shatner. And you got Shatner staring back at you. There's no contact information. There's no email. There's no name. There's no phone number. There's nothing. There's a 1-800 number, Shatner, and you're like, what? What am I supposed to do with this? Let me ask you a question. Would you just tuck that with the other mail in the desk and go, they contacted me already. I'm just going to wait until they come in, knock on my door again, tell me what I can do to get that inheritance. I'm just going to leave that there. Is that how you would respond to that? No. Of course not, right? You'd be getting on the phone, you'd be calling, you'd be Googling, you'd be calling every office of Hupie and Abraham that you could to figure this out. You'd probably tweet at Shatner going, you hear anything about my 10 million, Shatner? You help me out with this? Most of us couldn't sleep until we figured out a way to sign on the dotted line to get that money. That's how we would roll, right? Now let me ask you a bigger question. Why don't we react that way when Paul just told us about an inheritance we have in Christ? It's better news than getting 50 million or 10 million or whatever. I promise you, it's not even healthy for us to get 10 million. That's not a good number for us. So why don't we get more fired up about that? I mean, why aren't we moved to celebration at the reality that we've got an incredible, loaded spiritual bank account that's really there for us right now? Why don't we take hold of spiritual blessings the way we would get excited about or take hold of physical blessings? Why is that? I mean, listen to these blessings again. Courtney talked about some of these in worship. The scripture mentions them. Look, we're chosen by God. Like, he knows you. He chose you. He chose you. We're sons and daughters of God, adopted into God's family. He's not some distant, malevolent force. He's a father to us. We're in the family of God, and with that comes an inheritance. Think about an inheritance from a human being versus an inheritance from somebody who created the universe. Just imagine the value of your spiritual, your heavenly inheritance. I get tingles thinking about it. My head would explode if I understood that. I couldn't handle the truth of that. And then he says, the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Verse 13, listen to this. You're sealed with a Holy Spirit. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's what we're sealed with. That's in us as a promise. It's powerful stuff. And these are just some of the blessings. This whole first part goes on, blessing after blessing. And so why are people not more excited about that, about our physical blessings when we hear our spiritual blessings? Why do we get so excited about physical blessings and not spiritual ones? Why are we not dancing in the aisles? I don't mean it as a criticism either. I mean, if I got 10 million, I'd be freaking out too. If you drop 100 bucks on me, I'm good. I'm excited about that. I'm thinking about how I'm going to use that 100 bucks. Doesn't even need to be 10 million. Doesn't need to be any of that. But I understand it because the obvious answer is, sure, Joel, physical blessings easier than spiritual because we know how to access that. We know we can use it right now. It's very clear. Everybody knows how to use them. We know how that would impact our life right now, obviously. But is there a deeper answer? And I think there is, to why we don't get more excited about spiritual blessing. And here's the answer. We don't understand them, and we don't know how to access them. I don't think we really understand the blessings that we have in Christ. And if we don't understand what they are, if we don't know them, how are we going to access them? How can we engage with these blessings that God has given us? And again, I don't mean that as a criticism, because I feel the same thing you might. Maybe some of you are fired up about it, but the majority of Christians don't seem to get as excited when they hear that verse. And here's why I think he did that. I don't mean it as a criticism, because I don't think God ever intends for us to fully understand the magnitude of the riches that we have in Christ. So I don't think he intends to, but listen to this. We are meant to grow in it. We're meant to grow in this. We should be, as we follow Jesus, growing in excitement and engagement with the blessings that he has given us. Our perspective should change toward concentrating with the heavenly things. And I think God did this by design. I think he intended there to be a certain level of mystery to the spiritual blessings that he's given us. And here's why. The mystery of the blessings that he gives us are an invitation from him to come to him. Say, hey, look what I've given you. Now come to me. Pursue me. Turn your eyes to me. Let me reveal to you the magnitude of the blessings that I've given you. The mystery is an invitation from God. He's saying, I want to be with you. I want to connect with you. Come, learn from me. Be with me. Engage me with this. He writes this to a different church. He says to the church in Colossians, he writes this letter and he says, this is what I want you to do. Turn your eyes from down here to up here. Okay, I want you to get your focus off of what's on earth and in front of you. I want you to engage me, heart and mind, in the heavenly things. This is what he writes to the church. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. That's all of us here who call themselves Christians. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We've died and we're hidden with Christ in God. And he's saying, come find me. Come look. Turn your attention to me. Connect with me. So the mystery of our blessings in Christ are meant to draw our attention from things down here to things above, to understand those things. And when we do, the value of our spiritual bank account becomes clearer. What we have in there becomes a little more apparent. And when it does, we can access the spiritual blessings. And what happens when we understand what it is and we take our eyes off of down here to up here is we start to let go of the things that we cling to in this world that drag us down. Ambition, money, our looks, our job, whatever it is that we cling to that we think we can't live with, we think that's the greatest thing. God's saying, I've got so much more for you. Turn your eyes from it and I'm gonna free you from some of that. And that's what he wants us to do. This is how it's worked with me. I mean, as a young man, I've always been very competitive. I'd say ambitious, not in really good ways, but out of insecurity. I'm afraid to look stupid. I'm afraid, I've been afraid to not be enough. And so I've just worked really hard and I've wanted everybody to think I'm something special. I've watched myself as a young man to see that drive me in so many negative ways. And as I've come to understand my inheritance in God, I've been able to step back and just let go of some of that ambition and some of the unhealthy parts of competition, some of that junk within inside me, because it doesn't matter as much. Because I'm starting to see who I am in God, what I have in store for me, and so what's on earth where my attention was doesn't matter as much. And he wants to free us from that stuff because that stuff leads to idolatry. And so when God says to us in this line, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, I want you to hear that as an invitation. It's an invitation from him to say, come and learn about these. Learn more. Wherever you're at in your walk, come to me and learn from me. But this requires something on your part. You're gonna need to take a step towards God. He's not gonna do it for you. He's not gonna grab your mind and your heart and just focus it up like that. You're gonna have to take a step towards God and do that. And that can be uncomfortable because it requires you to reorient some of your time and your energy. You've gotta give it to God. Let me say this though, if you are struggling to get excited about your spiritual inheritance, of what God has in store for you, it might be because you just haven't thought about it. You haven't engaged it. Your attention is in so many other places. Your eyes are down here and they're not up here. And he's inviting you to look to him and to learn this. And because if you don't understand your spiritual inheritance, if you don't understand the blessings that he's lavished on us, you're not gonna be able to access it and you will not live in the power of God. You will not live in the power of God. You will not live out with his plan for your life and what he's got in store for you. You must understand what they are. And if that's you at any level, you go, I wanna know more about them. I'm so glad you're here. Because that's what we're gonna do with this series. See, one of the easiest ways to take a step towards God and understand him is to dig into his word. In fact, the book of Ephesians is dedicated to helping us understand and access our spiritual blessings in Christ. That's what this book is about. And so what I'd like you to do, I'm going to ask you as a church to not just, I want you to come every single Sunday. We're asking you to come every Sunday during this series. But I'd like you to pull out your handout right now. And I want to explain to you what specifically we're going to ask every person in the church to do during the series. So you're not going to understand these riches if you don't engage the Word of God. And so we're going to ask you to do three things. One, and this is kind of pithy, I'll just say it. Read, watch, wrestle. All right? We're going to ask you to read the text every single week. I want to challenge you. I want to raise the bar of your own engagement to read the book of Ephesians 9 times in the next 9 weeks. 9 times. Okay, I'm telling you, it only takes 20 minutes to read too. But the way I'd like you to do it, the way we want to challenge you to do it is read 1 chapter a day, 6 days a week, so that you're in the Word of God every day. It'll take you a commercial break to do. It's less than 4 minutes for a chapter. Some of you are even faster readers. So read the text every day. Next is watch a video. Now, we've never done this where we're going to do a sermon series that coincides with a video curriculum. And so there's a 12-minute video, 12 to 13 minutes each week. We want you to just sit one time a week and just watch this video. It's going to be material that comes alongside the message. It's going to be in line with the message and the questions and everything. And we're going to ask you to engage with that. And I'll explain that in a minute. I'm going to have Stephen come up and show you how to engage with that particular media. And then we're going to ask you to wrestle with the questions. So we're going to give you a couple of questions each week that you can wrestle with either by yourself. We know it's summer, so some of you aren't going to be able to make it. So it's a very portable thing. You can download it off of our website, or you can get it each week here. And you can wrestle with these questions by yourself, or do it as a couple, or with your kids, or join a small group. And you can join a small group if you want to. New ones are starting in 2 weeks. And you can sign up at the membership or the welcome desk out there. And so you can do any of those things if you'd like to. But we want you to wrestle with the text. Now, the insert that you have here, the particular insert that you have, is actually for next week's sermon. So because we know it's the 4th of July, the handout corresponds to next week's message and the video that you're going to watch for next week. So you're going to have the same handout in both weeks, this and next week. So you can choose to start early or you can choose to start after. That's up to you. If you want to kick it off next week, go for it, or this week. But it's the same handout because that information will correspond to next week's sermon and the message that you're going to hear on the video. So now what I'd like to do, and if you have any questions, come talk with us. We really want you to engage with this. I'm going to invite Stephen Bruce up, and he's going to show you how to connect to something called Right Now Media. How many of you know what Right Now Media is? Oh, good. But we haven't brought this up in a while as a church. And I don't know if you know, but we have a subscription to something called Right Now Media, which is like a Netflix or a Hulu for like Christian religious content. And there's phenomenal resources on there, whether you're a child or family resources or small groups. And it's free to anybody who attends Christ the Rock. In fact, consider it part of your spiritual bank account. It's loaded in there. It's part of that. Just kidding. Not really part of it. But it's free to you. And so, Stephen, would you show them? I want to show you how easy it is to sign up, how to get to the series, and we'll end with a little video, an introductory video that you just get a taste of the video series we'd like you to engage with that the questions are based on. So, Stephen, how easy is it to sign up for Right Now Media?
It is very easy. And you're going to see up here on the screen, hopefully. There we go. All right. This is our Christ the Rock webpage. If you guys have ever been there, if you have not, you can easily go to any web browser. Actually, you guys can do this if you want to get extra credit right now while I'm walking you through it. ChristTheRock.org, all one word, ChristTheRock.org. And that's what it looks like. You get this homepage, and you see some advertisements there from some upcoming things, a journey group. You can click this little arrow to scroll through them. There's baptism, the book of Ephesians, the series we're in. And then right here, it says the book of Ephesians, free gift for everyone in our church. If you click on that, it takes you to a page that looks like this. It's from Right Now Media. It says, we've given you free access to the biggest video Bible study library in the world. Welcome, Christ the Rock. And so this is your page where if you don't have an account already, you can easily sign up for an account. As Joel mentioned, this is our gift to you, part of your spiritual bank account. And I want to walk you through how that works. So you can quickly just scroll down here, and you're going to be able to add your profile. So for your name, I'm just going to put my name. I can't even spell. Stephen Bruce. My email is Joel Z is the man.
Oh, you mock me. He's making fun of me.
And everyone's going to see my password here. It's worst password. Okay, if I can spell. Have you ever gotten in front of people and then you just can't spell? Okay. So then you're going to have a series of questions. And the reason it's asking these questions is Right Now Media is going to curate some content specifically for you and your demographic. So if you're signing up for your family, you can grab some different stuff, but it's going to ask you some questions. So I'm a guy, I'm married, my birth year, oh, this is going to be fun. I'm going to put 1999, you know. Are you on staff of this organization? Most of you guys will press no. Yep. It gives you a little different content. And then you can, you set your primary role, you can hit other if you're a CEO, manager, employee. Once again, it's just going to curate some content for you. So it's already picked some things for me based on who I am. I'm married, so it's got down that I'm married. I'm a guy, so it collect guys. If I had some teenagers, which I do, I could collect teens or click teens. Kids, and all these things will just give you some content that's going to be based around some of your things you might be interested in. So you can click whatever you're interested in. And then, of course, there is the all-important disclaimer, the I have read and agree to terms of use. I'm sure all of you are going to read that in its entirety,
please,
all right?
Of course.
So make sure that you do. And then it does have this one button above there. It says, this account is only intended for people that are affiliated with Christ the Rock Church. And the reason we're doing that is because we're paying for this. We want any of you guys, anybody that's connected to this church, to be able to sign up. But that's just a little statement there to say, yeah, I'm part of Christ the Rock. So then you click the next button. Oh, there's an error. What did I do? Oh, I didn't enter the right password because I'm typing in front of 1,000 people. Let's see if I can enter the same thing twice. Okay, now let's try it. I probably didn't get it right still. Oh, I did. All right. So then it says, I want to let Christ the Rock Community Church know that I'm grateful to have Right Now Media because, you don't have to fill this out, but because Joel Z is the man.
Oh, stop.
All right. And I'm going to submit that feedback. And it's going to take me right to the Right Now Media webpage, the homepage, and you're going to see some content scrolling up here. One thing I wanted to point out, in the kids section, there is a great kids series from Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales, on Ephesians. So if you want to go through with your kids, I went through it. It was enlightening for me. I'm sure for most of you guys it would be great. But if you just scroll down here, you're going to find the book of Ephesians pretty quickly. It's under the most popular Bible studies, and it's this little icon right here that says Ephesians. You click on that, and it's going to take you to, I'm going to zoom in a little bit so you can see. Maybe. Oh, well, let me zoom. But this is going to give you a little synopsis of that. And then each individual week has got its own video. And so you can click on there. You can also click down here on download participants handout. This is going to give you a version of what you have in the bulletin with even more questions. So if you want to do some extra credit and go even further in depth, you can click there. There's a series trailer,
which we'd like to show you right now.
Let's go ahead and
get a sense of what this is. You get a feel for what the series looks like. And then next week, we will say right there, Ephesians 1. If you watch that this week or next week, that's the one that corresponds with the message we'll preach next week. And it's a brief video, and then the questions are based off of that. So, Stephen, let's check it out, that series trailer. We fire that up and just give you a taste of what one of these videos looks like that we'll work from. So let's check that out.
Let's check it out.
Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians is considered to be the most concise, theologically rich book in the Bible. This is a survival manual for Christians. This is how you can survive and thrive, he's going to tell them, in the midst of a world that is not friendly to your message. Verse 5, when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. We used to be in a graveyard. Now we're in this growing, flourishing garden. Are you killing sin actively right now, or is it killing you? Are you gaining ground or losing ground? Are you in the fight? Don't you think that means you should do all you can to bring inside those who are still disconnected from eternal life? That if the people in your city, your school, your neighborhood, your family are ever going to hear the gospel, it's going to be through your mouth. This great God has put all of his resurrection power into us so that he can bring us to salvation and healing to the world through us. Before the world was ever established, before any of this had ever been made, God knew you. He knew your name, and he loved you. That's what happens when you meet God in the story of Jesus. It's a story with such beauty and power and drama in it that just getting swept up into it forever changes you. It's not behavior modification. It's soul transformation at the core level. So you see, as Paul nears the end of the book of Ephesians, he's trying to get the Ephesians to see that in all their relationships, even the most normal relationships, they're actually serving God and putting God on display. Paul's prayer here, I am praying for you also, that you would see the hope that God has given you in the gospel, that you would see that he's in control and that he's working in all things, that you would understand your great worth to God, that you would recognize the power God has put inside of you, and that you would ask God to extend that power through you to people all over the world who have yet to hear about him. Amen. Amen.
All right, church, are we ready to dig into this book of Ephesians? Yeah. Come on, a little enthusiasm here. Can we do it? That's the spirit. All right. This is worthy of our time. We believe that if you engage with this book, it will transform you. And we'll be a different person in a different church as we embrace these blessings that God's given us. So I really encourage you, check these videos out, answer these questions, but especially dig into the Word of God, church. Pray with me before we go as we start this series and kick it off. Heavenly Father, again, we ask you to open our hearts to the truth and power of your Word, that this study of Ephesians, Lord, that you help find time, even open it up for us to see where we can fit this into our weeks. Give us a heart to dig into the Word of God. We ask you, Lord, to transform us, as you promised your word can do. Transform our hearts to see exactly what it is that you have in store for us, what our blessings are, how to live that out. Let us be a church on fire, excited about the word of God. Thank you for this. Thank you for this church and this opportunity we have to study it together as a body of believers. So we look forward to what you're going to do through this. We love you, Lord, when we say this in your son's precious name. Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll see you next week, I hope. Otherwise, happy 4th of July to everybody. If you want prayer, you want to talk, you got questions, come forward. We're here for you. We'll see you hopefully soon. Take care.